Sermons from the Journey is an audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Rebecca Clark, pastor at Trinity United Methodist Church in Montpelier, Vermont, and blogging online at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
Please excuse this child of the 80s for dating herself for a moment. Where have all the good men gone? Where are all the gods? Where's that streetwise Hercules to fight the rising odds? Isn't there a white knight upon a fiery steed? I tell you, I'm up all night praying for what we need. I think that's what the words were anyway. We need a hero. We're holding out for a hero to the morning light. He's got to be fast, and he's got to be strong, and he's got to be fresh from the fight. We love our heroes. Have you noticed that all the old heroes are back again in full force? The box offices are filled with the stories of the heroes from every generation, told again and again, with new actors and new special effects, but the story is the same. We are hungry for heroes. And it's not just the superheroes and the comic book heroes, but we make heroes of athletes and of celebrities. We make heroes of politicians. We even, some of us, make heroes of pastors, I hear tell. We are hungry for people who will meet our expectations, who will take us to the next level, who will heal our world, our nation. It seems when we elect a new leader of anything, we get hopeful, even if only for a moment, or we get really unhopeful. But we sometimes get hopeful just for a moment that this is going to be the person that brings us back together, or this is going to be the person that takes our state or our country in the direction we think it needs to go. And we get excited about these people that we think are going to help us, that we think are going to save us. And if we think we are hungry for heroes, we've got nothing on the people in Jerusalem in the first century. They needed a hero. And they were holding out for a hero. They had great expectations, conflicting expectations, but great expectations for a hero, for a king who would deliver them. By the time of Jesus, the expectation and the hope had whipped into a frenzy such that no human, and maybe, well, surely, no one who is even human and divine could possibly meet all of the expectations. Nor, we would argue, should they. The people of Israel had lived so long under the oppression of the Romans and before them the Greeks and before them the Assyrians and whoever else felt like conquering the region for thousands of years and had been promised God's deliverance. And for so long, their oppression had been so temporal, so political, so economic, so social, that was what they saw. Their oppression had come from kings. Their oppression had come from their rulers, their physical rulers of the land. And they'd been told that the Messiah would be God's own king, the king of all kings. And so they expected, many people expected, a king. As the choir sang this morning, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, many expected him to wear a crown of gold, not of thorns, right? We get the reference there in the song even. Many expected him to be wearing a crown. Many expected him to be riding a fiery steed, or at least a white charger, like the Roman governor would ride when he rode into town. Many of them expected him to be carrying a sword to overthrow the oppressors of their entire lives, of their entire people, and take back the land, take back the rule, take back the country for their salvation. They expected a savior, And they had a picture of what that should look like. We do the same. We do the same with our political leaders and our politicians. We do the same with our celebrities and our athletes and whomever else. When we set real people, honest to goodness human people, up as our heroes, we have a picture of what they're going to be like. And without fail, they can't live up to it. If we are those who get put on pedestals, who get set up with expectations, we know that we can't live up to it. In fact, one of my favorite quotes about what leadership is, what good leadership is, it is disappointing people at a rate they can handle. Because we can't ever live up to people's expectations. Good news, Jesus couldn't live up to everybody's expectations. And if he can't do it, then maybe we can cut ourselves a little slack when we can't do it. Maybe we can cut one another a little slack when we can't do it, when they can't do it, when he or she can't do it. But the more important message in this story, very briefly, because I know we're short on time, the more important message in this story today is not that Jesus didn't meet the expectations of the people because he fell short, but Jesus didn't meet the expectations of the people's understanding of what salvation would look like because their expectation was a totally different picture. Their understanding of what salvation was, of what glory was, of what servanthood to God was, of what it meant to be faithful and just and righteous and a deliverer, a hero. Their understanding of all of that was fundamentally different from Jesus' understanding, from God's understanding. Now, I'd argue, and I'm going to look at this a little bit, actually, next Sunday on Easter, and as we move forward a little bit, what I'm interested in this year, what I'm fascinated in, is that I think Jesus comes at this understanding as well a little bit. I see some of his impatience. The very next passage in the Bible, right after this entry into Jerusalem, is the scene in the temple where people are misbehaving, and Jesus goes in and he gets upset. The people are worshiping God improperly because they're changing money and they're ripping each other off and they're ripping God off, and Jesus gets mad and he turns the tables over in the temple and he drives people out with a whip. All right, it's not a pretty peaceful picture of Jesus. It's part of what gets him in trouble this week, right? And I see in some of that his wanting to, he hears that. He hears that expectation of, come on in and fix it. Come on in and fix it and make it right. Make it right overnight. Change the world into what God wants it to be and do it now. And I think he feels that pressure, even knowing or sensing or believing in what God has sent him to do. He feels that pressure, I think, a little bit. Has that sense of, oh, I wish this didn't have to go this way. And we hear the story on Thursday night, on Friday night, of Jesus asking for another way, asking for a different way of living into this expectation. You know, could we revisit that thing about, like, conquering and living a little bit? Does it have to be this way, God? Is this the way to do that? And I think I see a little bit of that pressure, of that struggle. Are we sure we want to expect what God wants of us and not what everybody else wants of us? But the ultimate story is that Jesus comes not so that he can be a better king, a better person to oppress, but so that people can learn to live without a king, an earthly king, and have only God as sovereign. Have only God as the ruler and savior and deliverer of life. He comes not to take one corrupt system away and put another one in place that will, because it will eventually be a human system, be just as corrupt eventually. That's the problem we have with our celebrities and politicians and everyone else. But to remove that system entirely and place instead God as the foremost. And that doesn't look like what people think it looks like. It doesn't mean taking power. It means casting power aside. It doesn't mean riding on a fancy horse, but on the colt of a donkey. Not carrying a sword, but waving palm branches. Not coming to conquer, but to be at least for a moment, conquered. And the sad part of the story is that the crowds can't go there with him, and most of the disciples can't go there with him when he doesn't meet their expectation. Not because he falls short, but because their expectation is different from what God's calling is. But when he doesn't meet their expectation, they turn away. They get angry. They get hurt and mad, and they turn that negative energy back on him. Our challenge is to ask of ourselves, are we trying to live into our expectations? The expectations of the crowds around us, the expectations of the crowd in our own heads, in our own selves, that tries to tell us what to do and how to be? Or are we seeking God's way, which is different? Are we seeking after power or a place of influence because we think we could do it better? Or are we seeking to strip away those trappings so that God can do better in us? And when we and others don't live up to the expectation, are we looking at that expectation and thinking and asking and criticizing it and saying, was this God's expectation? Was this God's vision of how this would work? Or was this just what we imagined it would look like? The people of Jerusalem, the people of Israel, the people of the whole world got a hero. They got a savior. They got the most magnificent gift, the most magnificent leader they could ever have asked for. We are given a hero, a savior, a gift, a leader, and yet it's not always what we imagine. Are we ready to see with God's vision? Are we ready to change our expectations so that the one who rides forth in God's name, surprising though they might be, different from our expectation though they might be, can call to us and say, this is the way. This is the journey. This is the place to which God has called us. Are we ready to join with the crowds not only in celebration, but in standing with, in praying with, in journeying with Jesus in this week ahead and in all the uncertain times ahead when God's ways don't look like what we expect? Can we trust that they are still God's ways? When God's heroes don't look like what we expect, will we celebrate them anyway? And when God's reign doesn't come as quickly or in the way that we would like, when justice is slow to roll down, can we still see that God is at work, slowly, insistently, humbly, riding on the back of a donkey? We don't need our heroes to be larger than life. We don't need our expectations to be so high that no one, not even God, can meet them. We need to align our hope and our vision and our expectation with God's work in the world, with God's call in our lives, so that we can sing hosannas on the road to Jerusalem, on the road to Calvary, on the road in and out of the garden. Amen.